Take your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter number 1 this morning. Genesis chapter number 1 is where we'll be starting out in our scripture this morning. I'm glad to know that we are serving a God who is good even when we don't understand exactly what He's doing in our life. He is being good to us. He made us that promise in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 28. But as we get into the singing this morning, as they were singing, and man, how worthy the Lamb is of our praise. And yeah, that song is angelic, but it makes me want to get right rowdy when I hear it, because I want to tell you this morning that our Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He is worthy of our praise this morning. And then the second song they sung, that our God is good, and He's good all the time. But you know, I can remember being low and Jesus picking me up. Sarah was giving an example of having a physical ailment that the doctors said there was nothing they could do, or what the description or the outcome that they wanted to have wasn't what God had in mind. And I can relate to both of those verses, but that third verse is one that I can absolutely relate to. I can remember being lost and on my way to hell. I can remember having sin in my life that was unforgiven. And you say, well, preacher, you tell us that you got saved at 7 years old. But I'm going to tell you something. I remember the night that I got saved. I remember the fear that was in me. Let me just tell you like it is. I remember the fear that was in me that if I died without asking Jesus Christ into my life, that I was going to go to hell. I knew that. I had been in church all my life, and I had heard my dad preach and my Sunday school teachers teach me that it took salvation in order to go to heaven. And I knew that very night that if I died in the shape that I was in, that I would not go to heaven, that I would go to hell. And I can tell you about getting up and running through the hallway. My bedroom is in the back left side of the hallway. I know it just, I told you last week, I don't know the date, I don't know the month, I couldn't tell you what time it was or anything else, but I can tell you, getting up out of my bed, running down the hallway, my dad was sitting there in his recliner in a blue Lazy Boy right here on the left, and I grabbed him and I said, Daddy, I need to be saved. And right there and then, right in the floor there in that little house up in Cana, Virginia, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, and I want to tell you, God was good enough to forgive me of my sins. God was good enough to love me through all of my mistakes and all my failures, knowing what I was going to be. God loved me so much that He forgave me of all of my sins and made me one of His children right there in that floor that night. And I'll never forget that as long as I live. That message was free. Let's get to Genesis chapter number 1. I'm going to charge you for the rest of this. Genesis chapter number 1. If you will, bow your heads and pray with me and pray for me. Lord, we thank You for this day, and God, I want to thank You for the spirit that I feel in Your house this morning. God, I want to thank You for being here with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and may we all for the next few minutes, God, have one mind and one accord, and that is to worship You through the study of Your Word, and also that if there's one here today that's lost, that today will be the day that they come to know You as their personal Savior. God, thank You for what You're doing in our church. I'm not worthy of anything, God. I'm just old sinner saved by grace, still coming short, still sinning. All those things are still in my life, God, but I am one of Your children, and God, I'm so thankful that You love me so much to forgive me of my sins. God, as we get into this message this morning, help me to preach it the way that You gave it to me. And God, help us to receive it with open minds and open hearts that You may speak to us. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Genesis chapter number 1. It's kind of crazy. Lynn was actually in Genesis chapter number 1 this morning in Sunday school. And I know that what the Bible says about signs, but a lot of times in my studying, as I prepare messages, I ask God, please give me some confirmation. Let me know that I'm preaching exactly where I'm supposed to be. And this morning, I was probably 10 or 15 minutes late for Sunday school. I was running around the church talking to different people. And as I come into Sunday school and sat down, the first scripture that Lynn mentioned was Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1. And I just said, God, thank You. Thank You for just speaking to me. You know, ain't it amazing how God cares for the little bitty, just minute things in our life? And He heard my prayer and said, I'm going to give You that confirmation. So Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1, I don't have to get past the fourth word, and I could preach for the next 25 minutes. But I got a lot more I want to say, so I'm not going to do that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I'm glad this morning that we're serving the God who spoke everything into existence. I don't care what they tell you in school. Don't try to understand where God come from. It hasn't been long ago, one of my children asked me, who was before God? Nobody was before God. Well, where did God come from? God's always been. I don't know how to explain that. I don't know how to tell you any different than that. I won't tell you any different than that. But I can't tell you. I can't explain to you. I'm just going to tell you that this right here is where some of that faith has to come in. And you have to say, you know what? I'm going to believe the Word of God and knowing that God has always been and before everything else was God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. None of this stuff that they teach you in school, if you are getting some of that teaching that things happen this way and that way, there's no Big Bang. Hey, if there was any kind of Big Bang at all, it was that God spoke it and bang, it was there. That's it. That's all you can make out of it. There was no evolution process that put us here. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But I want you to know that you're serving a God who is God of all this morning. I'm trying to get you to picture in your mind that God is so big. You know, sometimes we try to bring God down to our level. We try to make God man. And you know what? God did bring himself into this world as man through Jesus Christ. But our God is, I don't even know how to put it into words. He is God of everything. You're serving a great big God. You have no problem that's too big for him, and still yet he cares for every single one of us. He says he knows the number of hairs that are on our head. We're serving a great big God this morning. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now let's skip to Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 26. Y'all know there's a whole lot that happened between what we just read and where we're going. But I don't have time for that this morning. Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. Now, wait a minute. Here in verse number 26, I said that God has always been. I didn't say anything about anybody else being always. But it says, and God said, let us. Who's the us in this? Well, can I tell you that, yes, God did come to earth in the form of Jesus Christ as a man. But God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, all three, here we go, are separate. You got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. You can't have one without having all three of them. You can't separate them. If you've got the Son, then you've got the Holy Ghost and the Father also. But when God says, let us make man, it was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they were all there. And you say, well, wait a minute. I thought that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was here on this earth. But he was with God in the beginning also. As Lynn was teaching this morning, he was prepared for you before you ever needed him. Jesus always has been. Hey, Lynn said this morning in Sunday school, he said, if you get to trying to understand all this, they'll end up putting you in a nut house because you'll be somewhere banging your head against the wall saying, I don't understand. Don't try to understand it. Just believe that God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, they're all three one. They come as a package deal. You can't have one without having the other, and that they have always been together. Chapter number one, verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now, let me just point this out real quick. This is not the message this morning. But notice chapter 1, verse number 26 didn't say, and God said, let us make man by making an organism, letting him wiggle around and make arms and become a monkey, and one day he becomes a man. It don't say that. It don't say that at all. You know, I'm amazed. You know, for something to be scientifically true, you have to be able to make it recreate itself over and over and over again for it to be scientifically true. So why in the world, tomorrow morning, when dear Beth walks into the Asheboro Zoo, and she's the monkey keeper down there. I don't know Beth. That's just a name I grabbed somewhere. But when Beth walks in to feed the monkeys in the morning, why don't she look and go, well, goodness, there's Fred. Somebody let Fred out. He became a man last night. Because if it happened one time, it should be able to happen again, right? To be scientifically proven. But no, the Bible says here that God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. This morning, I want you to know that God looks at you and you are very special in God's eyes. You may get up in the morning and you may look in the mirror And you may say, I wish that this was different about me. I wish that this was not the way that it is about me. I wish that I was someone different. Look at all of these other people and look how special they are. And I wish I could be more like them. But can I tell you that God made you who you are for you and for His own image, and that God looks at you and you are very special in His eyes. Don't you ever put your head down about who you are, what you look like, or anything else, because God made you who you are to worship Him in His honor and because of His image. This morning, I know that there's a lot of pressure in school. Hey, I don't get much pressure anymore. All of my customers walk in and I don't think they want to talk about how I'm losing my hair on the top of my head. I got three children. I expect it to be all gone before it's all said and done. But people want to talk about how I'm getting uglier and how I'm getting fatter and all that. And it's all in good fun and I can handle it, because if you give it to me, I'm going to give it right back to you. So just be ready for that. But as I look in the mirror every morning, I don't look and say, well, I wished I was this, or hey, I do wish. Poor old Matt, he's 6 foot whatever, 6'7", 6'8". I wished I was tall. I wish I could dunk a basketball. Hey, I wish that people just had to look up at me every now and again. When I shake hands with Matt, I want to stand on the pew and hug him because he's so tall. Sometimes I wish little differences like that. But when I look at who God made me, and when you look at who God made you, you're special in God's eyes. You're special in God's eyes. He made you you, and He did it on purpose. It wasn't an accident. So we got through verses 26 and verse number 27. So now I want you to read Psalms chapter number 139 and verse 14. Shannon's going to have it for us. It says, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. This morning, as you look at you, you can honor God and you can worship God because of who you are. Because of who God made you. He says, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are very special in God's eyes. We're going somewhere with this here in just a minute. I want you to know that God loves you. That God made you who you are. Don't question who you are. Just worship God and praise Him because of who you are. Some of you act as if you don't know how wonderful you are. Some of you have trouble with knowing how wonderful God really made you. And then some of you act as if you especially know how wonderful you are. We'll just leave that right there. Genesis chapter number 8. I want you to see how much God loved man. God said, I'm going to make him in my image. I'm going to make him wonderful. And I'm going to make him just exactly the way I wanted him. So in Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 8. Look what the Bible says. So he's made man, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Now see, God made man, made him in his own image, made him wonderful, made him fearfully, made him just special in his own image. And then he said, now I'm going to make you a special place that I want you to be. I'm going to give you something. Can you imagine what the garden looked like that God planted? Can you imagine how wonderful and how beautiful that this would be? If you want to read some more about it, continue reading the next few verses. We're not going to for the sake of time. But God made this man and made him in his own image. And then he made a special place, the Garden of Eden, for him to dwell. And he gave him this wonderful place that he could go and he had dominion over everything. And as Adam is there in this garden, he is to take care of this garden. The Bible even teaches here in Genesis chapter number 2 that God brought every beast to Adam and said, here, you name it. You call it what you want it to be called. Man, how much confidence that God had in Adam. How wonderful he made everything for Adam. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 1. Before you get to Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 1, this proves how much God loved Adam. God loved Adam so much that he saw him lonely, and God took Adam, for the sake of time, we're not going to read it, put him in a deep sleep, took a rib from Adam, and he made Eve. He gave him a helpmeet to be there with him so he wouldn't be lonely. Sometimes I know we pick and we joke and we carry on, but men, what would we do without the ladies in our life? What would this church look like if it was a bunch of men running this place? I mean, we know that God gives instructions for the leadership in the church to be men, but if it wasn't for ladies doing all the work, what in the world would it look like in here this morning? It would probably be very, very bad. I know in my situation at my house, My wife lets me be the head of my house. I was trying to see how to say that without sounding, but it is her choice to allow God to allow her to do God's will and let me be the head of my house. And I do. I try my best to lead my house the way that I'm supposed to lead it. But if I didn't have my wife there supporting me, I would hate to see what my house would look like. I would hate to see the mess that my house would be in. So now we have Adam, we have Eve, and we have them in this beautiful garden. They're fearfully and they're wonderfully made. And then chapter number 3, verse number 1. Now the serpent, we all know this story. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden. Now wait a minute, where's this question come from? We'll see when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he said, look, everything in this garden is yours. It's all yours and you do with it as you please. Except there's a tree. The tree of knowledge. And this tree that's in the garden, you can eat everything in this garden except for this tree. And if you eat of this tree and laid out some stipulations for Adam and Eve, do not eat of this tree. And they got the word straight from God. They got the instructions straight from God. And then in chapter number 3, verse number 1, you have Satan show up. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made, and said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Look how Satan turned God's word around. God said, you can eat of everything but one tree. And look what Satan says. Did God, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden. Satan is twisting what God said. Is that not what Satan's doing today? He's wanting to take the word of God, and he don't care if you believe some of the word of God. He probably really don't care if you believe that God created you. He probably don't believe that you believe that God loves you. But he definitely does not want you to believe that you have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and have a relationship with Jesus Christ in order to go to heaven. He definitely does, and he'll twist that. And even as you're sitting here this morning, and if God begins to speak to your heart and draw you, Satan won't even come and tell you to not be saved. Satan's going to come and tell you, don't do it today. Just wait. You've got a little something that you need to get straightened out in your life. You've got a little something that you need to take care of. Or better yet, you're young. You've got a whole lot of fun to have. And we need to get all of this fun out of our way before we get into a relationship with God. Because Christians don't have fun. That's what Satan's going to tell you. Well, I've been a Christian since I was 7 years old. No, I've not always lived right and I've not always done right. But I have always had more fun in the house of God than anywhere else out here in this world. You say, well, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, maybe you had some fun out here in this world, because the Bible teaches that sin is pleasurable for a season. But did not all of that fun sooner or later bring pain in your life? Did it not sooner or later bring regrets in your life? See, Satan won't tell you that part. I got to keep reading. I'm not going to get where I'm going. Verse number 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of every fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. That's the silliest thing I've ever heard of. You mean God's going to kill you for eating this fruit? And again, he's just taking God's word and twisting it and making her question what God had told him. Verse number 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat of thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Again, Satan's feeding her a completely twisted form of what God had said. So let's continue reading verse number 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and that a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not see? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now listen, if you continue reading, you will see that God, because of the sin that Adam and Eve did, that there was consequences that had to be paid. That there was some curses that come upon the land. That Adam and Eve were run out of the garden. They were no longer allowed to stay in the Garden of Eden. And with our sin, there are consequences that come along with our sin. We should never think, as children of God, that we're going to sin and get by with it. I don't like that either. You know, some of the scripture that hits me hardest in the head sometimes is the scripture that says, be sure your sins will find you out. Some of that scripture, you know, when I'm contemplating whether or not I'm going to fall for temptation or whether I'm going to stand, teenagers, maybe this is something good for you to think about. When that temptation comes and you're trying to decide, am I going to go good or am I going to go the wrong way? Maybe something good for you to ask is, what is the consequence of my decision? And you may say, well, there's not really a big consequence. And when the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out, I don't believe that that means that somebody one day is going to stand up in front of a crowd and tell you or tell everybody else what you have done. But I want to tell you, there have been times that I have done things in secret. I know, I'm not supposed to do things in secret. I'm saved since I was 7, and man, I'm pastoring a church, and I've been a deacon, and all Sunday school teacher. But there have been times that I've done things in secret that, far as I know, have never been shouted from a rooftop. But I'm going to tell you something. The way that God tore my heart up, my sin was brought out. There was no doubt in my mind that God knew what I did and that God tore my heart up with it. And sometimes it may just be a relationship thing. But here in the scripture, in this curse, there are consequences for your sin. There are things that are going to happen, and it doesn't matter. You may say, well, I'm saved by the grace of God. I can live and do the way that I want to. Well, if that is your mindset, first of all, I'm not sure that you have experienced the love of God like I've experienced the love of God. Because there is a desire, and other people in here also, there is a desire inside of me to live right and to do right because I know how much God loved me by giving His Son Jesus Christ for me. And if I can look and say, well, I'm saved, so I'm just going to live and do what I want to because I'm saved and God's forgiven me and all that, then I probably need to check my relationship with Jesus Christ. And if really and truly, if you can go out here, this is going to be a bold statement. If you can go out here and you can live in sin, you can practice sin, you can commit sin. And when that word committed is, this is what I do on a daily basis. This is my choice. And if you can commit sin and live completely opposite from what God has showed us in His Word, and there is no repercussion in your life, there is no spiritual battle on the inside of you, you do not feel the Holy Spirit dealing with you when you are in sin, you're not saved. You're not saved. Well, preacher, you're judging me. No, I'm not. I'm giving you God's Word. The Bible specifically teaches me that when I sin, that God is going to whip me for it. This is my word. This is Cana, Virginia talk. Well, it might have to be Pilot Mountain talk now. But that God's going to whip me for it. I think that's accepted in Pilot Mountain. I'm not sure. That God's going to whip me for my sin, and God's going to correct me. And if I don't feel that correction, here's what God's word says, that I'm a bastard and not a son. That's God's word. So now that we've got all of that out of the way, and we see that there's consequences for our sin, and we see that when we get out of line with God, that God's going to speak to us. And if God's not speaking to us, then we might not have a relationship with God. I want you to notice what happened here in the Garden of Eden. Now, as Jesus, as God has created us in His own image, and as God put Adam and Eve here in this garden, and He made them this beautiful garden to take care of, and He said, here, I want you to have this. This is a wonderful place. And you would think that they would say, well, God, I love you so much. I want to live for you. I want to be everything that you want me to be. I won't ever make a mistake. You've only given me one rule. One rule is not too hard to follow. I'm going to follow God with everything I've got in me. The same way that I feel when I leave here on Sunday afternoons. God, I'm with you. I'm walking with you. I'm in your way. I'm super Christian when I leave here. But then real life happens. Then the serpent comes. Then the devil comes. Then obstacles comes. Then burdens and trials and everything else comes. And the next thing you know, I'm kind of beat down, kind of like Adam and Eve here. So Eve, as she took this fruit and then she took it to her husband, we find that they have disobeyed the one commandment that they have found. God had done all of this wonderful stuff for them, and then they disobeyed God. Now you would think that this is the way that I think, that if I gave everybody everything that I had, I made them fearfully and wonderfully, that I was, they were so special to me, that I loved them so much, that I gave them all of this garden, I gave them each other, and I gave them one commandment, and they broke that one commandment, I'm done with you. I can't believe that you did that. we're no longer associated. And you can see that as Adam and Eve is in the garden and they have committed this sin, they all of a sudden realize that they're naked. They all of a sudden realize that they're not right with God. They all of a sudden realize that they broke the one commandment. And they went and made themselves a covering. And you know what? Is that not what we do? If we feel like we've done something against God, we either try to justify it, we either try to cover it and just say, oh, I'm just human, I'm just going to mess up. And they went and they made their own covering, and then they heard God walking in the garden. Now look, they wasn't surprised by God coming walking in the garden. So you know what that tells me? Is that God did this on a regular basis. That he come to the garden to walk with them. Man, how wonderful that would be. To have that personal touch of God coming to the garden. Well, I don't know about you, but God shows up in my life personally a whole lot. God speaks to my heart and he squeezes me and he tells me how much he loves me and he helps me. He gets me through my problems and my trials. And then I fail him. Just as Adam and Eve did. I don't do the things that I should do, and I do the things that I shouldn't do. And I would deserve for God just to run me off and no longer have anything to do with me. But as God come to the garden, I want you to notice that God didn't come to the garden. He didn't come with intentions of killing Adam and Eve. He didn't come with intentions of telling them how terrible they have been. He didn't come with the intentions of saying, you're no good for nothing, you're not worthy, you're not anything. God come to the garden with intentions of communing with Adam and Eve, with intentions of coming there and having that walk in the garden with them as always. And as he comes into the garden, and as Adam and Eve has hid themselves and try to make a covering for their own unrighteousness, for their own mistake, God says, Adam, where art thou? Well, I want to tell you right now that God knew exactly where Adam was at, and he knew exactly why Adam was hiding from him. He knew that Adam had failed. He knew that Adam and Eve had done exactly what he asked them not to do. He knew that they had made a covering for themselves. He knew all of these things, and yet he still came looking for them in the garden. The point of the whole message is this morning. God has been so good to us. He has made us fearfully and wonderfully. He has given us so many wonderful treasures here in this earth with our families and the different possessions that we have. He has blessed us over and beyond what any of us ever deserve. And yet we still choose to sin. We still choose to do things against him. And we deserve for God to kick us out. We deserve for God not to have anything to do with us. But I want you to know this morning, maybe you're here this morning and you have allowed sin to come into your life. You have allowed things to happen in your life. You have walked away from God. You don't have the relationship with God that you should have right now. I want to tell you this morning that God is here looking for you. That he is here saying, where are you at? And it's not because he don't know where you're at. It's not because he don't know what you're doing. It's not because he don't know what your relationship with him is right now. But he wants you to look and see where you're at this morning. Where is your life at with God? Have we taken everything that he gave us for granted? And have we walked across him? Have we sinned and come short of the glory of God? And if so, I want you to know that God's not here this morning hoping to cut you into pieces. He's not here this morning to condemn you. He is here to love you right back to where you was at. He is here to give you. Look, he went back to Adam and Eve and wanted to go and have a relationship with them in the garden. He showed up to meet with them in the garden. He still wanted a relationship. He still wanted to have love for them unconditionally. He still provided a real covering for their sin. I want you to know that God is here this morning. And if you're out of fellowship with God or you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he loves you so much that even through your sin, even in spite of your sin, he is here this morning to have a relationship with you. Sometimes what happens when we sin and we come short of the glory of God, you know what the old serpent that tempted us to do it, the old serpent that put the things in our lives to where we would move away from God, he comes to and says, look right there. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You call yourself a Christian and look what you've done. Now look, the world's going to do enough of that to you without Satan jumping in there. But Satan's going to jump in there and say, you should be ashamed. Or you may be here this morning, you may be saying, I've got it all hid. Nobody knows what I'm doing. And you may be exactly right. I don't have a clue what y'all do during the week, just as y'all don't have a clue what I do during the week. But we all serve a God who knows everything about us. And he knows where we're at. But aren't you glad that instead of condemning us, aren't you glad that instead of going and whispering to your neighbor what he's done, like some people may do, that God is here this morning saying, come here. I still want a relationship. Come here. You may have fallen. You may have come short. You may have things in your life that I don't approve of. But yet I'm going to love you through it. You know, the Bible tells me that while I was yet a sinner, that Christ died for me. So, you know, in the beginning of the message, when we was talking about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit being from the beginning, God knew that on September 9th, 1981, that I was going to be born. God knew that whatever date it was that I got saved, God knows the date. I don't, but God knows the date. And God knows from that date until today that there was going to be a lot of faults, a lot of failures, a lot of sin, a lot of mistakes, a lot of times that I chose to do things that I shouldn't have done. And in spite of all of that, He loved me and gave His Son, Jesus Christ, for me. Now you say, well, preacher, I still don't think I'm following you. Look, Adam and Eve, they'd done something that deserved for God to look down on them. They'd done something that deserved for God to condemn them. God could have condemned them right there and said, and look, it wasn't a great big thing. Look, on our top 10, look, on our top 10 sins, we've all got them. Y'all go home and think about your top 10 sins. We've got them, especially us Baptists. We really like top 10s. When the Bible says that all sin is sin. But look on our, is anywhere on your top 10 eating a piece of fruit? It's not on mine. Not on mine. But you know what it was? It was that they disobeyed God. So that anytime that we disobeyed God, look at the curse that come on the earth and everything because they disobeyed God. And when I disobey God, that could bring the same kind of condemnation in my life. But God said, I'm going to love you so much that I'm going to give you a great sacrifice through my Son, Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God's been good to you. Whether you know it or not, the Bible tells me that it rains on the just and the unjust. God's been good to you. He's kept His hand of protection on you when Satan wanted to kill. If you don't know Jesus Christ, Satan wants you dead right now so that you are His, and there's nothing nobody can do about it. But God has kept His hand of protection on you, and look where you're at this morning. You're in a house full of believers that have been praying this week that if there's anybody here that's lost, that today would be the day that they come to know Jesus Christ. God loves you so much that He's given you an opportunity. Jennifer and Hannah, if y'all will, come on to the piano, please. He has given you an opportunity. He's here looking for you. Can you imagine what that sounded like when Adam knew that he had sinned? When Adam knew that he wasn't right with God? Can you imagine what it sounded like when God spoke up and said, Adam, where are you? Can you imagine what that felt like to Adam? I failed. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I can understand Adam being afraid. I can understand Adam going to hide. But you know what? Here's what Adam should have done. Instead of running and hiding when God come to the garden, he should have been standing there waiting for God, saying, God, I messed up. God, I messed up. I'm so glad that you come. Because God, you told us not to eat of the tree. And we went and we ate of the tree. And God, I'm so sorry that I ate of that tree. God, I messed up. You know, that's what God wants from us. Don't hide in your sin any longer. Don't hide from God. But instead say, God, I know that I messed up. Because He's here. He's speaking to you. He's calling out your name this morning. And if you're here and you don't know Him, He is speaking to you and He's drawing you to you. He's drawing you to Him in order for salvation. But you may be here and you may be saved. You may know without a doubt that Jesus Christ has forgiven you of your sins. But you've messed up. You've let sin in. You may even be to a place that you're being bound by sin. There is something in your life and you know it shouldn't be there. You've tried to quit. You've tried to say, I ain't going to do it no more. And the pull is just too strong. And you keep going back. Well, I want to tell you something. God's here speaking to you this morning. He's here calling for you. And how about instead of running and hiding, how about saying, God, here I am. You know what a mess I'm in. God, you know the sin that's in my life. God, I'm sick and tired of being where I'm at. And I know better, God. And God, I want to be what you want me to be. God, I want to lay this down. You know how many times I've had to do that in my life?
I can't tell you because I can't count that high. Oh, but preacher, you're a preacher. I fight the same fight y'all do. Oh, but preacher, you're a pastor. Don't matter, I fight the same temptations y'all do. You know what, I growed up, I was a teenager too. Hey, you teenagers, I do not, there is no way I want to go back and walk in your shoes. Sure, would I love to go back and be in high school again? Absolutely. I know y'all think I'm crazy, but I really would. I'd love to go back and be in high school again and have life made. But I wouldn't walk with the temptations that y'all have to walk in again for nothing. And even if you're here this morning, you say, you know what, I've made some bad choices. Well, instead of hiding in them bad choices, instead of trying to cover it up yourself, just come to God and say, God, I'm glad you're still looking for me. With every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. Preacher, I'm here this morning. I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I've never accepted Him. I know that He gave a sacrifice with His Son, Jesus Christ. And I know that I need to be saved. I know that I do. I don't know whether today will be the day that I can or not. But preacher, I want you to pray for me that I will be saved. That sooner or later I'll make that choice. Would you just slip up your hand and let me pray for you? Just slip up your hand anywhere in the congregation. All I'll do is pray. I won't call your name. I won't speak out. Maybe you're here this morning and you know without a doubt that you're saved, but you're battling sin. You're like Adam and Eve. You're hiding from Him right now. Hey, coming to church. They were still in the garden. God showed up and called for them. They ran and hid. Maybe you're here this morning, you know that you're saved, but sin is in your life. Preacher, I just want you to pray for me that I'll get things right with God and that I can get away from this mess that's in my life. Would you just slip up your hand? See your hand, you can put it right back down. See your hand, put it right back down. Hands all over the congregation. Preacher, just pray for me. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be right with God. Anyone else, just before we pray? Lord, we thank You and we praise You for all that You do. God, I want to thank You for all the blessings that You've given me in my life. God, I pray that You'll forgive me of my sin, the times that I fall, the times that I come short. But now, God, help me not to run from You, but help me to run to You. Thank You for being a God that loves me in spite of my sin. Thank You for being a God that comes looking for me, even when I'm not where I'm supposed to be. God, for the hands that was raised, give them strength to come to this altar. I know they can pray where they're at, but God, help us all just to make that decision in our life that I'm going to go to that altar, and I'm going to get things right with God, and I'm going to do my best to walk where God wants me to walk. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. As you stand to your feet, as she sings, if you've got something that you need to come talk to God about, come on, this altar's open. God's here calling for you. Don't run and hide. Run to Him.
But you keep on searching. I've done all the work. But you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, it just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail, so leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken, just come as you are. When your last prayer is spoken, just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change in my child when you come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst. is no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well.
Amen. Thank you for your attendance, for your attention this morning. I hope the message come across as clear as God wanted it to. I knew I went around in about three different circles, and that's okay. The main thing to remember is when you fall, when you come short, that God loves you. He's not kicked you out. Run to Him, not away from Him. Lynn, do you have any announcements this morning? Okay. We have a deacon's meeting this afternoon because we're preparing for a business meeting at the end of the month, so I'm not going to be at the back door this morning. I need to go ahead and get started in that meeting. But I do appreciate you for being here this morning. I love sitting back here and shaking hands with everybody because I love seeing your face and getting a moment to speak to you. But if you ever need me for anything, I hope that you have my numbers. If you don't, you call around and you get it. You text me, you call me, you email me, you do whatever you need to. But if you email me, you better text me and say, I sent you an email, because sometimes I don't check my email every day. But thank you for being here this morning. We really appreciate you. Jordan, will you dismiss us in word of prayer, please?